greetings, everyone. Beautiful Sabbath, beautiful day, makes a beautiful Sabbath day. We're about 32 degrees warmer here today than we were the previous Sabbath. And it sounds like many people are much warmer than we are. And that's that nice thing. The oligarchy, or the oligarchy of the world, is playing out before our eyes, or the evil that seeks to devour the saints in the whole world, or destroy the whole world to stop the saints. We're in a whirlwind that Satan shall reap, that total darkness that the spirit world has known about, that God controls, which brings them fear of eternal damnation. Chaos is fulfilling for Satan. Oligarchy is chaos. God has judgment ready for Satan. They use God's creations to sacrifice people in every way possible. Mankind cannot stop sucking the life out of the people for their own gains and competition against each other. Israel cannot stop looking at their lovers for answers. They say to each other, I can do anything that you can do better. Brethren, let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So they have their lamps and they need oil to put in there, and they're going to go. And they're told here in verse 7 that all these maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Now, this is so many comparisons that you can add to this. Obviously, they knew that they wanted to go someplace to the return of their master, Jesus Christ. But they didn't take the oil with them. That's those that rely and think that they were comforted by God's Spirit, that they had God's Spirit enough that they learned things that they could rest on what they gave power to themselves about. Not what God gave them power to discern with. But the wise replied, perhaps there will not be enough. Oh, let me back up here. This is the Revised Standard Version. I'll be using that for the sermonette. Verse 11, or verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now the watchmen, they're set up in their tower. They're looking out, and I see that my light has gone down a little bit, and I apologize. But the voice is important, not the face. So we have the watchmen that can watch and they can see the different things taking place. But without God's Spirit to show you, well, what does that mean? They're moving here, they're moving there. The watchmen were basically set up before in case the animals were coming in to get them. How well were they fortified? Nimrod put the walls up to keep the animals out. Then it became to keep out your enemies. But it's nothing is worthless. It's nothing is worth anything without God's Spirit. We can watch, but we won't know without God's Spirit. The world knows that we're watching. They've been watching for a long time. They've been waiting for the return of Jesus Christ for a long time. What does the rest of the world act? Are they watching? Of course they're watching. But the Father and Jesus Christ, see, they see their sins. They see what they're doing. They see the sins, and without God's blessing, sin, that is sin itself, has a cause over and over. God must intervene over and over for Israel to survive, and thus the world can survive until this work is, the world can only survive until this work is completed. That's the timeline for God. So the watchmen that God has given us, they're useless without the Spirit. And in this past week, I made a little list here, maybe 10 days that this has happened. And I'm sure you've all heard about what's been happening with the new owner of Twitter. We learned last week that John Kennedy was assassinated by the CIA. It's not a conspiracy. They killed him. George H. Bush controlled the Cuban operations. Just to put a little bit of that in there. The FBI, what else did we learn? The FBI controlled Twitter. They paid the CEO money, and then they took control of it, and they told him what he was going to do and what they were going to do. We learned that Twitter then controlled the speech. That the men, these princes of the world, that came up and told you all the things to make sure something else was taking place, like Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, former presidents of the United States, existing presidents of the United States, the former prophets could tell the people that you're responsible. Don't blame it on your leaders. You're responsible. And Satan can twist these things and he can say, you're responsible for this. And Satan puts the guilt on the whole world. So Satan has the power to deceive. But rather, the world gives him back that power. They don't want God's truth, because Satan has got them addicted to what they have and what they think they have. But they're only giving themselves power. If they gave all they had to God, what would happen to evil? I can't answer that question. Let's go to Revelation 6 and verse 15. When the kings of the earth and the great men and the generals and the rich and the strong, everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who was seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 17, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand before it? Brethren, the world understands. The oligarchs, the governments, they understand that Jesus Christ is going to return. They're trying to stop it. They're looking at it and they're saying, we're the ones that will hide in the cliffs. We'll get away with it. They have taken farm cultures and they're presenting those because they feel they're going to be fed. And you're seeing what they feel is going to be needed for them to eat. The confusion, the chaos that gets created with this shows us what it's like. What Satan really wants, the chaos. Jealousy. How has jealousy shaped man's weaknesses? We have one country that looks at another country and says, we can do better than that. We can have more transvestites in the classrooms than they can in France. It's impossible to read the Old Testament. Now, this came from a commentary from Feinstein that was used in the Worldwide Church of God at Ambassador College on the Minor Prophets. He says, it is impossible to read the Old Testament with any degree of understanding without being struck very early in the record with the fact that God had willingly and sovereignly entered into certain binding relationships with Israel. God taking her to himself by his redemption of her from Egypt and by his entrance into covenant relationships with her. And he cites Exodus 4:22. And I can just read it here for you. And you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the eternal Israel is my firstborn son. It's just the start of a covenant relationship. Amos 3:1-2. Hear this word that the eternal has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. See, Israel thought they've got the prophets, they had the government at this time, and leading up to Jesus Christ and his ministry to come to give to us that. Let me back up here. Israel has the prophets, they have the church, they have all the government, and they feel like this is what everybody is coming for. That they cannot be punished, that they're doing everything right. They can judge you. And this is what's, it's just the same then as it is now. There's not a lot of differences. But the reminder is that Israel will be punished. Hosea's daughter was named Lo Ruhamah, to mean Israel will not escape punishment. God says to Egypt, you only have I chosen of all the clans of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. The relationship was and is inward, sacred, indissoluble. Then this is Feinberg. It is exactly pictured by the marriage between the prophet and Gomer. Never has God forgotten this time of entering into covenant relationships. Hear Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 2:2, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Eternal, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Boy, those are so important. God had warned them. God is saying, you have no excuse. You were warned. The prophets came before you. They said they were coming bearing the word of God. So when the people say that they shouldn't be punished, that Israel isn't going to get punished, they're going to be punished. Who does God play in this? God told Hosea after his wife had gone and played the role of a harlot, and we don't need to get into those details. But God says, you take her back. It's the example of God taking back his bride, his nation of Israel. And brethren, the time of the church being so close to the world in communication. And then their kings were taken away because they no longer wanted the kings. They wanted to elect their own. And their brethren is where we're at today. We're watching. We're getting ready. The rulers of Israel, they're just the way they've always had been. Stay close to God. remember, Hosea took his wife back. There was some time apart, but they came back together. That's what God's going to do with us. And he's going to use us to bring back the entire world.